Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 280 before Sunderland, and on the way to meet Nick, we're not going to be staffed and sell because we've got here early, so we're just having one in hotel football, because I'm sapped, so feel for Nick, like he did it last time, not feeling great, he's got to do it again. So I was listening to Sting sending out an SOS as I walked from Exchange Key, and I just thought, I'm sending out an SOS for the fanzine, my football team, my football club,
and the weather.
And then I thought, it's all weird, isn't it? The world's weird, you know, the football's weird, the football club's weird, the weather's weird again, and so just a quick cry into the ether. If you haven't bought the mag, it's going to hit us hard, and we're used to it. We've done it for 39 years now, but two in a row is still very rare. And it's not just two in a row rain, it's two in a row like fucking the gods have just shat out all the wet that they've stored all summer. Think of us today. So you know what, last week really hit me, but by Sunday I thought, I'm not going to let it spoil my Sunday, so I didn't. Stewed a little bit, but it wasn't like one of those wake up Monday Sundays, and it reminded me of Hookie's comment of apathy's worse than rage, because when you're feeling, oh, I've done this fucking dance so many times now, it's a slightly more concerning when you're already writing off your 6-game defeat, however bad it was. And I thought, I'll get on to Nick because he's not done this since Chelsea, but usually I'm buoyed by Amorin the night before, he gets me going again. Yeah, that's the man. And yesterday was slightly concerning, that I've heard you say this time and time again. I never want to get into the in and out, and that he's lost me, because I always think they're a bit, you know, they're not us, although they are, I suppose, the conversations that everyone's having. I was a bit surprised he stayed. Now, a man and an uncle in a car took George Best, you know, down the road for 3 hours. But I did hear 2 weeks ago, and there was detail in it. There was strange detail, because it was from abroad. Conversations were had there abroad relating to family members that, United have made contact with Glasner. And it might be bollocks. But it was before all this, that it was the first dip of the season after City, I think, or before City, you know, Grimsby it might be. Anyway, and it made me think, if it were true, and Glasner might have done the Amorin in reverse and saying, I'm going to wait till the end of the season because I want to see what I can do here at Palace. My contract's over, so it'll be a clean, nice thing. And then it made me think, now I am going away with the fairies here. Well, maybe United know that. You know, maybe there is the man that they have got lined up. And this is, I've gone three down the road potentials. But to come back to, I was at Brentford under Ten Hag, and he sort of sorted it out short term before it all went to shit. And I saw Shaw lost. I can't remember if Deleu played in that 4-0. But to be here 3 years later, or 2.5 years later, to still see Shaw, you know, shouldn't be at the club. However much, yeah, theory, run of games, Deleu making the same mistakes. You know, I love Maguire, but it took, from our attack, one long field punt and we're done. And that's with 3 at the back, stroke 5 at the back. And twice, we're just done, 3 at the back, stroke 5 at the back. Hello, Nick.
Yeah.
I said in the message to you, smug. You're not feeling smug. That was the wrong one.
No. Because I don't want to be right. I don't want to sit there and be right about it. I mean, obviously, I put in a group chat for us last week before Brentford, and as you've seen, I was like, this is the worst Brentford side that we'll have played in the Premier League. They've lost the two best players in Mbeumo and Bissa. maybe even three, including the captain Norgaard's gone to Arsenal. That's the weakest Brentford side that we've ever played. They lost the manager, obviously, as well. And I just couldn't see anything but a United win last week. And you know, I'm down on Amarin and I don't think we're going to win any week. But I really thought we were going to win last week. And the fact that not only didn't we win, we lost in such a typical Amarin fashion way was genuinely surprising.
It was damaging, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course it was. And the fact is that he was still in a job 9 a.m. Sunday morning has genuinely shocked me. Genuinely, I would have thought that he would have gone. Now, having said that, I look at today's game and I look at Sunderland and I think this is the kind of fodder that Ruben beats. He beats teams that your Leicesters, your Ipswiches, your Southamptons, who all went down, your newly promoted teams that come up and go straight back down. He's beaten Burnley so far this year, so that's in keeping with the theme. I know you can say he's beaten Chelsea. My point was, before you call me out again, on the podcast last week, and I love this little back and forth that you have. You have a go at me and I'm never on it.
I won't be here afterwards, so you can slag me off.
So that was annoying. So it was, my point wasn't, oh, we lost the second half. My point was, whilst if we don't have an extra man advantage, he can't beat anybody outside that is a newly promoted team. And Sunderland today is a newly promoted team where, regardless of them having a good start to the season so far or not, they're a team that have bought a load of players. They've spent more money than any other club in Europe outside of the Premier League.
Which is, but
it shows that they can put together a squad.
Well, here's a question.
That are now ahead of us in the league.
See, my doom,
why can't we do that?
I don't think we're going to win today.
I think this is a typical team.
One of those where it sets in, like
if,
the rain.
If he gets beat today, he's gone. And we're not holding out Rose Ferris till the end of the season and waiting for Glasner. He is genuinely gone. And if your man is available and they believe that Glasner is the next man available, which I personally believe that he is, and I think that's my choice that I'll go for him on Southgate to try and steady the ship, not because I think he's going to win a league title, I want to make that clear, then you have to go out there and get him, because Palace are on a 19-game unbeaten run. You can't sit there and think, oh, no, but he might be there. Some bigger and better.
I went on many, like, my own assumptions from a punt that was put to me. But what if he has said, I'm waiting until the end of the season? Either you come for me then or not, because his trajectory will, big clubs will be in for it. You know, like, sometimes managers... I had Lee's words reverberating, doesn't appear on the podcast, going, and I don't want to, you know, like, for someone who was literally fucking dug in like the trenches 2 weeks ago, for me to equivalent of down tools is pretty pathetic. But Lee's words of, when it's September the 28th or whatever it was last week, why wait till November the 4th? And I cannot see a scenario, because we are in that season now where every game is pretty much a must win. If we win today, say we get tanked at Anfield, then it becomes, oh, you know, Forest, Spurs, Brighton are must wins. And you don't get out of those, unfortunately, here, because no manager can survive that sort of intensity. And the stats are, you know, like, I think there's a lot of briefing bollocks and then also a lot of press making assumptions. You know, like, we'll give him a 38 season over two seasons run. I said, no, don't show me that table. That'll really tip me over the edge. Right? It'll be like 40 points, won't it, from 30.
It's not even that. But that's the worrying thing. It's not even
saying, you know, like, I miss not playing midweek in Europe. And I was thinking, no, I'm grateful, because I don't want to get tanked in Armenia.
The worst thing was, though, is I put the Forest game on Thursday night and watched the second half. And I watched Midgetland tear them apart. And I'm thinking, God, this is easily us. This is easily us, isn't it? Literally watching Ange fall apart on the touchline, singing, you're getting sacked in the morning. I'm like, that's what we would be doing. That's exactly what it would be
but
like.
But football is that mad now that someone can be potentially talked about, are they going to lose their job 6 games in?
Yeah.
You know, like, and United, I'd never have thought we'd, since the O'Farrell McGuinness, I never thought ever, I really didn't, that, you know, like, Moyes sort of surprised me that we are now in, like, your 40 games. I mean, it's bonkers. But that is football in this.
But the thing is, though, is that you can't go backwards. And Forrest had a great season last year, and yeah, they overachieved, but he's without winning 6 in his first. It's not even that new manager balance and things that. I mean, you know, we didn't get that. It's just going to say, 40 games, though, is enough. It's a season. And the thing is with United is that it's not just a case of, oh, it's just 40 games. It's the fact that you've gone from 8th to 15th. and you're in the bottom half of the league. I mean, no manager in the world could do that. I think that you could probably cobble together people in this room here at the top of Old South Football now, and you could probably get people that could get that United squad to finish 15th in the league. Do you know what I mean? That's got to be the floor for the squad. I think you could find people here that could do that.
I'm going through my old programmes. I went to Fergie, 95, you know, and obviously different fucking universes. But he's in March 95 and he's questioning. So it was interesting because it alludes to what he was going to do that summer, you know, with Ince, Hughes, Kanchelskis. He went, I wonder if this team has it. And he says, to succeed, you need hunger and determination. It just made me think stratospheric, a way apart, but not just because they were tiers above, but we don't have a hunger, we don't have a determination. Shown up maybe picking too much on Bruno, but Chathouse on two penalties because he couldn't handle a ref brushing him and he got distracted, which was a piss take. They shouldn't have been able to make subs. But United posted a training video this week to try and rally the troops, and it was so utterly fucking shithousery. I thought, who the fuck pressed send and not delete on that? But it was like, it was so lethargic, could be me and Steve at the end of the game trying to waddle to the buses. And I thought, like, it was a year away, hangover intensity. And I thought, yes, can't compare these to the Roonies and the Rios. But I want to see a video of them kicking shit out of each other on that training pitch, taking it out on each other, going match day routine in a midweek. And it was fucking pathetic. And you know, like, I know the cameras are there, but just, you want to, where's the heart and where's the fight united? You want those players to have left the pitch saying, never not complacency, not desire, that they have given absolutely everything. They might not be good enough, they might lose a game. And the amount of times we lose a game where you, Europa League final, you can say they tried, but did they really give everything? And that's damning.
Do you know what? I think the problem is with this squad is I actually do think they try. We've had this I generally think they actually do try. I think they do care. I think you look at, there's certain players in that squad that I do think are good enough. You know, I look at, obviously, Bremer, I think he's quality. I think De Ligt is quality. I do think these players come in, they try and give everything. I think Harry Maguire rafts his backside off every single week. It's just, if you're not at a level, it's not a dig. Many people aren't at United's level, and that's just what this squad really is at the moment.
It was a before and after pod, Jesus, and a good mate Fred went, you're so like your mum, confident before every game. Not today, Fred. Doom is here. Hell of darkness, my old friend, has engulfed the skies of my head.
Oh, no. But it
just got me thinking. For a while I've been thinking maybe this won't work, and now I can't see it working, and I maintain that I think we can get top six. And I said it like right from the off, it could be with or without Ruben. I still think if you get this into a coherent thing, that squad is better, you know, is so much better than this. So then it does become to the money, and I will, like, the last, I did watch it, I'm watching the games back just to double flagellist whack my back with fucking wooden oak. But I don't know, but watching the mistakes, and they are individual mistakes, but Micah Richards, who we're not a particularly great fan of, he made the point, and we all clocked it in the ground. He brought Mount on, so he's got his instructions, whether Mount has ultimately been very overall, really, like, you know, lesser matter. And then just four minutes later, the instructions that he gave Mount went out of the window as he moved into left-sided defensive mid.
Same with Yorick.
You know, and that is bad. You cannot, you know, that is just not good. And that really, like, that's a really concern, that.
Yeah. Well, the thing for me,
you're so stuck in a system that you're not going to change, that you're literally putting square pegs in round holes.
Yeah, which is, I mean, you look at the fact now he's losing the moderates as well, isn't it? It's like people like yourself now are having doubts, where before the Chelsea game you were still fully involved in it, and it's like you're losing the moderates now. But I think the moment that changed it still for a lot of people is on that tactic point, is that little Sabutio magnetic board he brought out against Grimsby. It's like, that's the point where you're thinking, you can't be doing that against the League 2 team and letting people
watch
you
do it.
The thing is, though, is it did work, because we were 2-0 down, he did that and it came back to 2-2. But you can't be seen doing that when you're seeing how bad United are going on, how many cameras are on you. It's just, I don't think he quite understands, still, even 10 months into the job, really, what this is all about.
No, I think it's getting to him now. I think he's got that sort of look.
I think he's been getting to him. I think he does care. I think that he definitely... But the thing for me is that he said if it wasn't going to work, he was going to walk, and he's not averse to walking. And I know people, and I've had this conversation with people at work who are City fans, and they go, well, he's obviously not going to walk because he's still going to want to get his payout. But I'm like, but don't say it then. Don't turn around and say, this isn't working, I'm going to walk. I'm not being funny, Ruben, but what stage do you think that this is suddenly going to click into gear? Because there's no signs of it. There's generally no signs of it. So why are you not walking?
Is there any hope?
If he loses today, I expect him to walk. And if he doesn't, he's not even a man of his word anymore, and he'll lose all respect. As much as I think he's a nice guy, and I'm sure he is quite a capable coach elsewhere, he would genuinely not even just lose my faith in him as a manager of this football club, but he'll lose my respect if we get beat today and he doesn't even walk.
Do you remember when I said under Ten Hag, might have even been Ollie, we've done this rodeo so many times, but there's the path like diminishes like some horror film that you can get out of this, and like usually like any, you know, win against Sunderland and scab something at Anfield, and I just can't see it. And like a nail, but you know, like it's that stage where you're almost thinking, oh good, there's an international break in 2 weeks.
Can't wait.
You know, like
can't
fucking
wait.
Hell.
Next weekend, isn't it?
Next weekend,
yeah. I think, isn't it? Can't wait.
The lit's been alright.
It's been alright then.
No, like, I still have people, you know, I think, and Bremo, I know he didn't have the greatest game, like, he's a bright spark. I'm so glad we got, and I still think Cunha will work out for us. That's where I debate with you. I think Cunha has got that bite. And like, he was telling players last week. No, he did a few moves last week, and like Fulham, he was that first patch.
Yeah, that first 5 minutes of the game. Yeah, brilliant, that first 5 minutes of the game. What did he do for the next 85 minutes? You know, this is what we're at now.
But he was bossing players around what to do.
And the
thing that really annoyed me, and I mentioned it to Ben, was that passing behind the man. The basic elements of football that you see every Premier League club that make you look at Bournemouth last night and think, wow, they play better football than we do. They know what they're doing in the system. You know, like the basic, play them the ball in front of the man, to the man. Don't kick it out. And like, we get flummoxed with everything. And we slow down our own play, which is just infuriating.
Because they're getting different instructions every 4 minutes with what to do.
What a sad world. I think those of us, and it'd be, I imagine everyone listening, you know, the same common sense and a basic morality code, look at the world and just think how sad it is. And just people going about their days the world over, in, you know, can have that taken away from it. Just like breaks my heart. And sad indictment of the world. My boy had to have lockdown training at his primary school. And I mean, readers with kids in America, how you cope, you know, with like that real potential. Like, I don't know how you do it, so fair play. But he said, so sad, like, you know, I know I get upset at fucking drop of a hat, but he went, Dad, shall I demonstrate? He got on the floor, covered his head, and I just thought, oh, and I know the world has never been a, you know, pretty place, but then I also got tearful at the final episode of Beech Grove Garden, so I know I'm a soft twat, in Steve's word, a soft ass wanker. And he'll be at Forest, hopefully, if anyone can sort him a ticket, and I'll let him take charge of the questions again, because we're on inevitable chubbins. I haven't won one all season. Loves of the week. I love Task, really good. I like that Yosemite Valley one, forget his name though, and I still think Hill Street Blues, great tune, third series now, so much it can hold its time. Hates of the week, went cinema, absolute bollocks adverts. We've got an Americanization of our adverts, where it's people grinning aimlessly at me, trying to sell me shit, fuck off. New Balance trainer ad, just watch that. And Sky's shit ad. And who leaves the cinema and goes, you know what, that advert for the Royal Navy, I'm going to join up now. And you know what's top of the list? That Audi, where they're in the car and they're singing, I like to move it, move it. Fuck off. Fuck off.
Do people watch normal telly though? Because I don't feel like people are going to get half of these references.
I don't know, right. Loves and hates me.
Not really have anything love-wise this week. I met Patrick Dorgu on Thursday.
Yeah, who you slapped off and then you hypocrite.
No, it was...
Selfie in.
But yeah, it was... long story. I'll tell people the story afterwards. No, I couldn't. He was very nice, actually, to be fair. So even though he's crap at football, he's a very nice man. And fair play. And Darren Fletcher's kids as well, who were very, very nice as well. So that's probably a lovely week. My hate of the week is I pay for Amazon Prime, right? And, you know, because I'm, you know, you watch the TV and stuff like that at the moment. It's a paid service, streaming service.
Yeah.
They put adverts on.
Yeah, no, that's
what's
a piss take.
What is that
and
about?
You can then pay more to get rid of the adverts.
That's ridiculous.
Cheeky fuckers.
I pay
and
for
then everyone is putting them up. I know people are going to shout fire sticks at me, but I get poltergeist screams whenever I try fucking fire sticks. And there's a game, I'm watching a game and it's 1988 all over again. And people are WhatsApping me goals. But yeah.
Drives me mad.
Just like, we didn't even have, how many seasons, like Jose had one, didn't it, where the season really goes to shit early on. And you think, this is, you know, like the weather moans. Yeah, we hate the winter selling. Should be summer football, but it's like, to be first week of October and like, just wanting to cry and curl into a ball.
I mean, I miss selling for Villa at home at the end of last season. And I said to my mum dropped me off with the mags on the way, and she said, training again. I went, yeah, I don't think I can tell you the last time I sold and it didn't rain. I don't know when that was. I'm sure Villa at home looked really, really nice, didn't it? But I sacked it off after Bilbao.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good question.
Yeah, we had one.
I've no idea why I'm doing
it. At the start of the season, where I even wore shorts. I mean, what are fanzine sellers to do but fucking moan about
the weather? Oh, Arsenal was nice weather as well, and I didn't do that one either. They're the only two games that I've missed in about 3 years.
Please, because the match, you know, it's a good mag, and the mad thing, it sort of demoralises, you know, Nick doing this in his spare time on his day off, he's worked his bollocks off all week. It's like the lads have worked their bollocks off to do this, and it's like the next mag is a belter too, you know, but it's sort of like, you know, like all the prep at the late hours, the 2 o'clock in the mornings, and you know, to wake up at six, and you just think, like, it's just going to get wet. And I know, anyway, all right, let's hope. I'm going to speak to Ben and Dunk quickly afterwards. But I'll do my R, put it. I'm going to all that early Sunderland goal. Killer.
Both teams to score, because we don't keep clean sheets. I'm going to go for 3-2.
Surely the United goalie has to start tonight.
Well, that's another good point, that, actually, because if he doesn't start today, he must be bad. He must be bad, let's be honest, because Bayern, and also, I'm not, I think, where's this thing come from on Twitter, where people seem to think Bayern Day has been really good this season? It's been awful this season. He was at fault for two. I'm not going to blame him for the first Brentford goal. Well, apparently you can blame him for the first goal. Have you seen the footage of him drinking a water bottle?
No.
So the ball comes on over the top and he's drinking a bottle of water, and he's like half asleep to it.
Do
to
you
drop
not
his water
know
down.
How
anyway,
shit our defence are to never do that during a game?
But the thing is, he's never going to get that. It was a great finish. The other two, he was at fault for. Two of the three goals against City, I still think he was at fault for. This new keeper, the Iron Dome, you know...
That was a wind-up.
It was a wind-up, but it's still funny. He must be crap if he doesn't start today. He must be crap.
And that also a weird thing where anyone can post anything and then it'll be taken as gospel, you know, like...
You just put a little sauce on it, but said by Barnett, let me...
No one will fucking take... Yeah. Glasnat is waiting till the end of the season. You heard it here first. That's just
that'd
the theory
the
I had.
At,
yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning. All right, everyone. We'll see you when we're moaning about the wind and the rain. You're out in the wind now, Nick. How do you feel?
Oh, it's delightful. Back in my normal habitat.
I'm with Ben Zaden. Dunk Finley now. Get on to Ben and Zaden because you've got to sell. Mags, thanks for doing this, people. And I don't know what's the bribery. Finley, thank you. Nell, thank you. How are we feeling?
Really good. It's the first game of the season for us. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
And
have you... to be here for Amarin's last game in charge. You know?
Have you felt about it all then since the madness has started and then gone...
I keep flip-flopping, I guess, like many of us. Don't want to go through with a different manager and change again. But then again, I guess you look at the stubbornness, if that's the right thing about the system, and think it needs to be more flexible. And then you flip-flop the other way and say that that's what he said he was going to do when he was brought in, so it ultimately sits with those at the top.
Yeah.
Signings have been mixed. Thought it was a great start with Brian and Cunha, but then couldn't understand why we didn't go after Martinez for an assured, you know.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense, did that. And again, we've let Højlund go. You see what he's doing over in Naples. We've brought in another youngster up front. Is it just repeating the same thing, expecting different results? So some signings have been good,
and
some bad.
I get that Højlund, Alanga, and who was the other one who were man of the match for their teams, But free of the shackles, and once you get confidence, because I maintain, you know, United, as we saw with Ten Hag and as we saw with Ole, United that wins 10 games in a row is a totally different beast to the 10 games before, you going, that was shit and all that. But also free from the pressure that they feel a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if we'd have beaten Arsenal, if you'd have beaten Fulham, would it be a different story now? Could have been, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, then you flip-flopped.
That was I was clinging to until Brentford fell.
Yeah, and Grimsby, and then you're just like, ooh. Well, then you flip-flop the other way and say the reason we didn't beat Arsenal, the reason we didn't win against Fulham was we couldn't score and dodgy goalkeeping, which has haunted us for three, four years now. So you
still played though.
Yeah, it's that flip-flop. But ultimately, we're here.
No, that's
we'll enjoy it.
And the perspective, your first visit, for all the. You know, like what is what I was saying, I still love it. I had a lovely time with Shane, and it's just, I don't know what they just do crazy things to you, don't they? How are you feeling, Finley? Sorry,
not as bad about it as your sister.
Are you excited for this? Thank you for selling.
I'm feeling pretty good, you know.
Would you rather be in a warm place and environment? But it's dry. I don't know how long, many seconds this will last. Yeah. Can't be as bad as last. Amarin?
I think we've got to give him a bit more time because he's not even played the new keeper yet, has he?
No. So Cunha and Bremer and Zezio played
many games either. Yeah. So, we can't keep flip-flopping because it just continues the cycle, doesn't it? So I'm not his biggest fan, but just keep with him and try and see something through.
All right, predictions. Chipping.
Yeah.
What are the chips like?
They're good. Really good, yeah. I think we're going to draw.
I think we're draw.
I reckon 1-0.
Yeah.
2-2.
That's what I've said to him.
Yeah.
And what's your favourite pre-match meal?
Lou Macari's chippy, as we've got.
Yours, Finn?
Probably the same, yeah.
Okay, right. Good luck, lads. Thanks for doing it. And thank you for doing this.
Right, we'll take these up. We'll give you a buzz around about half two, something like that. See how we're getting on.
Perfect. Yeah. They're all in plastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, we brought some bags. So, yeah.
Right. I've got the floats in there.
Well,
to be honest, Viv, Nick's mum, has supplied better bin bags than Nick had supplied. So you can always rely on the mums, can't you? For doing this in this weather,
do you know what? I really enjoy it because what I have realised is all my mates come now with the kids, and I don't actually see them at the match anymore because we're all spread out around the ground. So when I'm stood up there for 2.5 hours, they all walk past, we have a natter, and actually each other because we don't, if not, because we're all scattered in Stretford NK, wherever we are. So I see a dozen people who 30 years ago I went and stood with or sat with in the ground. So
well, you've written about the different changes, and like anyone following the Voice of the Fans, part two's in this one. Part three is the best of the three, and they've all been excellent. So look forward to that. Support the mag. Right. Cheers, lads. Brilliant. They are very gobby when they walk past, usually.
Top five.
They do give out. They do. Yeah, they've got. Right, I'll go behind Nick. So he's front in the mag. We had that in 92 as two just horrendous. But then we've been on the other end where we've won it on the last day. God, when will Shane Like in the ether? How are we doing, Mark? Shane Like in the ether, when will we have a last day title fucking... Yeah. How are you, mate? I didn't properly get to chat with you last week. What time did you get home?
Not too bad, really. They said that we'd be back for 8 o'clock. We got back for about 7:30, so not too bad.
But that was, 15-hour day?
15-hour day, yeah.
How'd you feel?
I've still lost the words, but I couldn't really say much afterwards, obviously, you know, because I was a bit disappointed, a bit annoyed. Just lack of effort, really. I just don't get it why you cannot put effort in. You know, I don't mind if we lose, fair play, you know. Souls are losing the right way, putting effort in and putting a bit of pride in and everything. But sometimes it's just, it's nothing, isn't there? There's nothing there, but that Brentford performance
is
rubbish.
What is missing?
I don't know, mate. I really don't know, because every time we think we've hit the nail on the head, it's just, it's even worse. Where are you? It's just even worse, you know. I just I'm just dumbfounded, mate, more than anything. It's like, and you look right at the end there, where me and little man were, and obviously the players came across. Fair enough, the players came across, because obviously we sometimes when the players don't come across, we'll
yeah, we get the hump.
But I got the hump with Dalot again.
he's staring at the end of him.
One, and he's like, this is like slight little nod thing. This slight little nod. And I'm like, what's he nodding for? What's he?
See, he's one who does care and try.
He does care and he does try, but he winds up because he's at fault for one of the goals. Yeah, no, what the hell was he running to?
Well, and also when he was bullied out, you know, by their player. And like that Groundhog Day of how many times, you know, I know, like, in my generation is like difficult conundrum because you revert back to like, but you know, the Irwins and the 7 and 8s out of 10, and you think, who have we got? Like, it used to be Bruno, but because in his new role, he's dipped. He's not 7 or 8 out of 10 anymore. You know, like,
and Buemo went a bit missing in that game. For the first time, I think, this season. I do get that. I think they obviously knew how to mark him and how to play against him.
And it was a difficult game. And I did think he was fronting. And also, sadly, I think the new arrivals suddenly look and go, oh God, everything that they promised me this fucking shit show wasn't, is a get. You know, like, and we're caught in that
conundrum, aren't we? Yeah. It's
do you feel a way out of this? Because I've gone a bit, like, I don't think we'll win today.
I think we win today, but then
Anfield.
Well, me and Zane went to Anfield in a few weeks' time after international break. I'm thinking, you know, are we going to be on another end of a battering again? You know,
but, and that's sad to even think. Like, as I say, the '80s, you'll never beat United. To almost like everyone just writes off every visit to Anfield, and you know, like, I know we got a draw, you know, but every visit is like, oh well, that's gone. You know,
it's just what's his
diabolical.
I like the way he is. You know, I like the way he's honest and everything. He seems like a good, nice chap, like Nick says.
Yeah.
But my only problem is, what's his plan B? Does he have a plan B and a plan C?
I think he starts mount at left back. You know,
then he starts changing around the back line, and I'm like, why change the back line and I put Mount at left back?
No, that makes no sense to me.
You know, put Mount in where Mount's effective, you know, instead of putting square pegs in round holes, you know.
I don't like when he starts changing
the back line as well, when he takes Maguire off of Yoro. And I can understand Yoro, he's a decent player and everything, you know, he's probably our best centre half, to be honest with you, other than De Ligt. I think De Ligt's been fantastic this season, but
I know Yoro's young, so, but we potentially have fucking 40 game season. Just go with De Ligt, Yoro, you know. And what also pissed me off was he switched Maguire and De Ligt around.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, one of them is going to be the ball getter and giver. Yeah, you know, who is?
I just feel like sometimes Amorim doesn't help himself with his substitutions and everything. And you know what it is like, though. But then again, we've been here with every manager before that. We've baffled with substitutes. We've been there with Ten Hag, with Solskjaer. We're like, could he make a change before? Why have they made this sort of change? But I don't know, mate. It's just one of those. I just wish we had answers more than anything.
Yeah, but I think that's what he wishes he had.
Yeah, true.
That, you know, like that. I hate feeling, and they're already this in. Second games in the gloom just arrives and envelopes, and you think, you know, I got so giddy, and I the people who went, you know, I think your giddiness who messaged.
Yeah, I think we were all giddy. You know, like, season,
and
we,
you think, Pancho, come on. That keeps me going. Look at Pancho.
It's sad that nobody knows him.
No one.
That is sad, though, isn't it? And it started to fucking rain again.
I know. Well, I'm just,
The worst thing is, I thought you were on about the bin, man. At first glance.
I thought he said Poncho at first, and he said Pancho, and then I was like, oh yeah, Pancho.
I love seeing my heroes. all right, let's see on the other side. Like, what do you reckon then, Ben?
I'm going 2-1 today.
To us?
To United.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm hoping so.
My mojo's taking such a battering.
You might want to edit this out, but do you remember when you offered Pancho a key to your bedroom when you were staying in a hotel?
I'd still do it now. What a hero.
It still tickles me.
What a hero of mine, mum's, my brother's. Yeah. What's your predictions, Aiden?
2-1.
2-1. We've got two 2-1s.
Has Nick told you that he almost lost Baggy?
Tamarin looking for answers.
There's a story in his half.
Yes. What's the baggy story? And like this will wind Nathan up because he says we've spent far too many hours talking about Baggy.
Well, I lost him.
Right.
I don't know, but I've refound him.
Okay.
And he's dirtier than ever and smellier than ever.
Do you still put your lunch in it?
Yeah, every day.
But you wrap the lunch, you don't just put...
Yeah, no, I put it in a lunchbox, right. But...
put a lunchbox in a bag. But isn't the point of the box to not have the bag?
Well, the sensible solution to this would be to buy a better lunchbox. But I'm now emotionally attached to the bag that I need to keep the same lunchbox, which does leak a little bit, hence the bag to protect it from the bigger rucksack that I take to work.
So is your what Amarin was to me until 2:59 last week, really. Come on, regain my mojo and love for you, Ruben. I do love you. You're such a nice person. I'd love Chiritos and whatever.
Love to share some pastel de natas with you.
Yeah. Come
some,
on.
Some pork.
And this weather. Fuck it. All right. Take care, everyone. So afterwards, I'm not going to do it. 4 minutes.
4 minutes. I'll try 4 minutes.
No swearing.
And I don't think I did too bad last time.
No, yeah. Good. And I will just send, a little message to Nick to read out. And hopefully it's a happy one. All right. Cheers, everyone. Take care of yourselves. Also, we'll be announcing on Friday, it's World Mental Health Day. Just take a sec. Take a minute. Give yourself a bit of fucking self-love in whatever way you want that to take it as. But we'll be announcing how the mind thing will be working. And it is just the title of it. God, this sounds grander than Red News is One More Step. Okay, so take care of yourselves, everyone. So the Optimist family aren't the full family. Where are they today, the boys?
Oh, it's wives and girlfriends' birthdays today.
Okay.
So I'm out on my own, yeah.
Not your wife's birthday.
No. My wife's working.
That would be a DEFCON warning and fair play.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. Yeah, that would be a bridge too far.
Yeah, you're usually... reigniting my light.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, Barney? I mean, the results don't lie, do they? And I must say, I think the Brentford game probably was, I don't know, I think that was probably the worst performance we've had this season, or certainly not the best. But I think that, you know, in certain games there have been signs. This is what I don't understand. There's a lack of consistency. So, hopefully, I mean, he's had a whole week to get it together. Hopefully he can...
that's the worrying. We've had a lot of weeks.
There's a lot of time to work stuff out. I mean, there's players missing today, I believe, again. You know, I think Cunha, Mount...
I didn't know Cunha was on.
I saw that earlier in the week. Right. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't stand. I didn't see his press conference.
I think we do need them, the new clubs, to get a run of games as well.
Yeah. I mean, I probably sound like everybody else, but I do think that he should stick... Bruno as a 10 with Cunha, which maybe to the expense of him and Bumo and play Sesko up the top.
Yeah.
And then I would play every time Manu and Casemiro. I don't know, maybe it's the system that doesn't suit him, but he always looks a bit exposed to it.
That he might justify, you know, like I'm not getting protection, but I do think Manu deserves a start. And if he doesn't, I've got my gut feeling, we'll see, you'll all hear this, it's like we're going to see Bainda, we're going to see Ugarte, because he doesn't like, he's a stubborn, and we called Eric for being stubborn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd really like to see the new goalie get a go today. I thought Bainda played quite well last week, apart from possibly the third goal, which I thought he dived underneath it.
He made a couple of good saves.
He did. But I do think, what did they buy? I mean, you know, they buy prospects all the time, I suppose, but I heard somebody yesterday describe it as that we've got three number twos, you know, none of them are number one.
He was a bit of a no-brainer, even for a year of shithousery, just give a bit of... You know, like bollocking to players.
Yeah, you just need that bit of experience, and it. I mean, certainly at corners we've been undone so many times. It's untrue. So,
What's your prediction then?
Today, I'm going to be optimistic and say we'll win 3-0. How's that?
Oh, I like right. And many send birthday regards and everything to the lads.
Definitely,
all right.
Yeah.
See you later. Take care. Joined by Matty and Aaron. How's your day been?
All good, yeah. We came up yesterday through the lovely weather we've been having and staying over in Sale and went for a nice walk this morning and popped over nice and early.
What was you doing last night?
What did we do for dinner last night?
Nothing.
Oh, we had meal before we left, and then we just had some snacks in the car.
What
was
the meal before you left?
Pizzas, just homemade pizzas.
All right.
So, nice and simple.
Yeah.
We had to wait for him to get back from school, and then set off about 4:30.
How are you feeling?
It's all right.
Today?
Not really, like, confident, but hopefully we went. I'm not really confident with the manager or anyone at the minute. So
we've been talking about this a lot, and he's not confident at all. Whereas I sort of, you get here and you've got that hope, haven't you? And it's, what's the saying, the hope that kills you, but you've got to have hope. There's no point turning up, is there, to come and watch it. But I've been trying to relate it to my line of work, so I teach, and I'm just, the only way I can describe it is, if you're teaching children to do a test at the end of every week, but you're only teaching them one way or one subject, say it's maths, and you only teach them addition, and there's multiplication, division. No, you find your own way. Don't worry, I've taught you one way. This is what the manager's doing. It's one system and nothing else. And he won't change. I don't get the fact he will not change things. I don't understand it. The stubbornness. Because it's not working. And the proof is there over, how many games is it now? Yeah. There's just no proof that it's going to work. That's the thing for me. And he's still adamant it's not the system. Well, it might not be just the system. Obviously, the players have got to take their blame, but... They can't play the system, can they?
It's multifaceted.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, as I said, I've said before about a jigsaw puzzle, and you know, like, but it takes 5 or 6 pieces going at the right time. The system doesn't help. The half the players still being useless doesn't help. The club being in this constant state of whatever it is. The Glazers, you know, lurking around. It all adds up, but I know Nick would probably say that, you know, the Glazers aren't losing us money, but I say the whole structure of their ownership led to this downfall. And then, like, and then there's players not caring. And you know, the worst thing, I do, you know, agree with most of, you know, changing on the spot, but those players also should have character.
Exactly, yeah, they've got to wear that shirt. And also, where is the consequence for poor performances? They pick the next game regardless. There's no, like, DeLow, sure, you can name, everyone knows them, and they fail us week after week. They turn up one game and everything's great, and then the week after they can't be bothered to run. No. I don't understand how you can't run on a football pitch. If you're playing with your mates, you run more than some of them, and it's this casual nature. We were talking this morning. Game starts, and normally the first couple of minutes it's quite promising, and then as soon as Maguire or Shaw get on the ball and they take 4 or 5 touches, it's like the air going out of a balloon. It just slows everything down, and the key team comes to a grinding halt. And
Dan from Glasgow made the point this week, you know, like, also United need to be better at, they've been saying this for decades, better at communication. You know, they don't even talk to us anymore. That's a smaller side, but it's like, communicate. If you knew that Amorim came into the meeting a year ago or so and said it will be very troublesome, I'm sticking to this system, you know, like, blah blah blah, then now you need to sit down, and if you are sticking with him, then you need to explain properly, you know. I'm not talking about a vote of confidence, I'm actually saying, like, detail.
Yep.
These are the things. Why are we sticking with this? This is why we're doing it. Yeah. This is why we did it. This is all the decisions that have led to this. But instead, it's like, you know, they're just going to hide in a little bit and, like, hope that, oh, we'll turn around to be appearing in the good times. And, you know, that's for a £1 billion business like Ineos are, it's pretty poor levels of
they're recruiting for the system, but you cannot tell me that Dorgu is the best left-wing back option out there, honestly, because when you've got a touch like that, and he can't beat a man, can he? Like last night, Semenyo, 2 cracking goals.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the quality player. When have you ever seen? We were talking this morning. Who is the best player for us week in, week out on the pitch? I can't name one, honestly, because it's been De Ligt, but last week he was shocking. Bruno's looks like he's sulking to me.
Well, Nick's question was, who's your favourite player opposite? And mine is Yoro, but I hope we don't damage him because I think he's class.
He's 14 and he should have heroes now. And
who's your hero?
Don't we have any? Like,
he loves Maynard because he's a local lad and he's young. Yeah. But he doesn't play. It's just there are no heroes. I was lucky enough coming here with Dad and you could pick them 1 to 11. Fantastic players. And it's never going to be like that forever, but... to come
they
here
can be better
and
you, than this
they should be better than this
right, have, prediction sorry
they on. Have the quality for it as well, but they just don't
well, they
show
do
it
have like, some ability not at the level
they're
that.
Not as
that's
bad
where
as
like,
they are looking
but Dorgu, like I do worry about his ultimate, but he's you know very good. You know, he's a physical player, but like you also need to back that up with a technique as well.
So, you need more than that here, though. Yeah. You need to be able to beat a man, get people off the seats.
You need the basics, and like say Delo, sure. You know, like we shouldn't be seeing Shaw today, certainly. Right, prediction.
I'm going to be positive, and I think we'll win. I think we're going to win. I'm going to go for it 3-1, but I'll probably be wrong. It's more that I'm here and I'm enjoying the day, and that's what it's about now. And the result will be what it'll be. But I would like to see us win. I'm not completely confident, but I'm going to go for a win.
Same as him. I don't think we'll win, but I'm going to try and stay positive. I think maybe 2-1, and hopefully. But
I think there'll be lots of worrying moments where we're sat there going, Jesus Christ, like, sort this out.
But I've got a fear it'll be one of those fanzine sellers days where we're 1-0 down by the time we get to our seat.
God.
All right, cheers,
not.
Lads.
Nice to see
Have
you.
A lovely day. Yeah, yeah. See you later, lads. Thank you.
Okay, welcome to Rain Bar. We've just beaten Sunderland by 2 glorious goals to 0. That was really enjoyable, actually. It felt like the old days of Fergie, where it was just kind of like a real cruise.
Are you comparing Ruben Amorim to Fergie?
No.
Is that what you're doing?
No.
One win and you're doing that?
No, no. But the game had the same, that, you know, like, you know, you had those sleepy 2-0 wins against, like, Everton and stuff like that.
Comfortable.
And that's what it was. Yeah. And we're not used to that. And that was really, really enjoyable today. The weather kind of held up but didn't hold up. It was very inconsistent. Manchester still will be the only city that can have a clear blue sky and absolutely lash it down at the same time is absolutely beyond me. But you've heard enough of me because I did a lot of chat before with Barney and you heard my thoughts. So I'm with Nathan, Paul, Riaz and John, who's in the middle of buying beer, so I'll come to him. But I'll go to Nathan first because he wasn't there for selling today. He had a very, very rare day off. He's probably the most loyal Red News seller for home games these days. However, he wasn't there today. Hello, Nathan.
I'm sorry.
Tell me your thoughts and tell people where you were.
I was busy doing other work stuff, which went well, I think. I thought it was, like you say, it was comfortable, but then at the same time, even with 15 minutes to go, it was like, if they score, there's always that bit of nerviness. But I thought Casemiro played well. I really liked him today. I thought Ahmad is always looking. I put in the group in the first half, but it definitely looked like we were playing more of a 4-4-2. It did look like that. Purely because Mbeumo and Sesko were basically up front together. And whether you want to see that on a team sheet that they weren't, that's what was happening for most of the first half.
I think Mbeumo had a bit more of a free role.
I think and he was pushing. He was
traditionally, he's obviously a good footballer, so I think he can pretty much play where he wants. And
he's not in the original
position of a 10, because when he has been, him and Ahmad have been in the same position, as we've said on here before.
Maybe it's just because of the team you're playing against, but those two were playing up front together today, basically. And Mbeumo, I love him. He's like a tiny little bulldozer.
I thought he was really poor today.
Mbeumo.
I'm his biggest fan. I am. I love him. I do.
But Mbeumo.
Mikey last week.
Right, this is a belter.
Embo. Do we know what it is?
I was like, you what?
Can we go back to
like Embo? You thought he was poor?
I thought he was poor today. I thought it was his worst game that he's had for us. I really like the guy. I thought he obviously got the assist early. And then after that, I thought he was careless in possession. I thought he looked lazy at times. I don't think I feel like he maybe was carrying a knock. I really like him, but I genuinely thought today he was our worst attacking player.
I don't agree.
I failed to see what he had. He lost possession regularly. I really like him, and he's great. But I just don't think today was his best game to do the teaching on. Carry on.
Mason Mount was great again. I thought Mason Mount was really good.
Match.
I don't know who won. Did he actually get one of the match?
I have no idea, but it was mine today. I know he came off after an hour.
His goal was great. 2-2 for Sesko. Cesko.
Benjamin Cesko.
And then, we're playing Lammens, and he didn't have a lot to do, but when he, I think he had like two saves to make. And
a big save at the end that you would have missed.
I would have missed that.
De Gea rests with his legs.
But then in the first half, he made it. He just a cross in.
He looked competent, didn't he? And I was surprised that someone didn't pressure him. And I thought they would have been.
Is he left footed or right footed?
I think he's left footed.
Because he can do it with both.
Because
I was watching it, I was like, I don't know.
He looked like he kept shifting it to his left foot because I was watching. He looked like he kept shifting it. But he looks great, by the way. You can tell the back three really.
Watching it and like midway through the first half, I said to the lad who sits next to me, I was like, I really want him to have a shot against him. Because you sort of want to see what he can do. And then the lad next to me was like, why would you want that? I don't want a shot, like, just in case. But you want to see it, don't you? You want to know.
You want to see it in him saving.
Yeah, exactly.
In the first half.
Yeah.
And that was an outstanding save. Yeah. It was a great save.
But I think today was... I think it was comfortable. I think... I've chatted to a couple of Sunderland fans today, like, one on the bus back, like... A mate I've got who's a Sunderland fan, and they went into it like not confident, because obviously they're never going to be confident, but anyone's going into today thinking we've got a chance because of how bad we've been. And I think we just did the job. We did it, like, you know, it was nothing flashy. We took our chances. But then that's the thing, like, in the last like however many months or games, we don't take our chances, and I think we did today. So we're like the first thing you said is 2-0 up, job done.
It's been boring.
But you'd rather it be boring 2-0 up.
I think the second half was boring. I thought the first half was quite good. But that's fine. I'm okay.
I would love to live in a world where I could be bored by United winning games.
Yeah. But
exactly.
That's why I'm saying today was a rarity. However, as great as it is, and it does feel good to get a win today because I really wanted to beat Sunderland, because I've got to say, after the typical of Liverpool City leads, and you've got that trifecta, people then start to talk about the next clubs that they hate. I know people are going to chuck in Arsenal. I know people are going to chuck in Chelsea. Sunderland are the fourth spot for me. I just hate them. I think they're a horrible football club with horrible people. I know we know a Sunderland fan together who's a lovely lad, and I'm sure there are lovely people out there that's gone, but they're a horrible football club as a whole. And the abuse that I had today selling was not abuse. It wasn't. They've got shots. Same with like Sheffield United when they come down. Same with West Ham and the scoliosis that they've got. They're horrible. But today is, as I said before, which you weren't there, but me and Barney had a bit of a pod, I said, we'll win today because that's the team that Ruben beats. It's going to beat the team that will be in the Championship next season. And I know Sunderland have had a good start, but they will go down this season. And that's just what it is. The teams that come up, they will come down. And Ruben beats those. And he did, and that's fine, give him his flowers or whatever. And it's three home wins in a row. Get in, come on. How's that for positivity, Barney?
Fortress
Old Trafford. But at the same time, he should have won today, and he should have beaten all the three teams that he's played in the last two games, because one had 10 men and the last two are going to go down. So that is still in the back of my mind, and I don't want people to get brainwashed by the fact that Liverpool's won today. And going to Liverpool is going to be very, very interesting. I think you probably all know what's going to happen there. But the one that he gets, that if he's still in charge by this point, which I suspect he will be is the Brighton game. And that's what we have to pin our hopes on. Is not Liverpool away. We have to put ourselves, because Brighton keep coming here and beating us by two. So that's the one that I'm looking at now, thinking that's the one that we should be earmarking. How do we play in that game? So I will move on. Hello, Riaz.
Hello,
welcome.
Nick. How are
we? How was today?
Adidas Prize winner.
Absolutely. Me and Patrick Dorgan, best friends. How did you find today?
I just got in the taxi and he knew where the ground was, so... Oh, that was my dad joke. How did you find today?
No, he's asking the questions, not you.
All right.
For God's sake. Come on, Leas. Keep up.
Sorry. Go on. Do you know what?
Sorry, also, just as a quick segue, wet are on in the background. And I love wet. And people, it's well documented why people know that I love wet. So I just want to make sure that people are aware that Marty Pello is on right now.
So
thank you, John, singing it in the background.
Today was really funny because almost surreal for me, because I was so set up after Brentford to watch us lose, and we didn't. We didn't lose. Not only that, we won comfortably, and not only that, but we looked coherent. That goalkeeper, he caught a ball and he kicked a ball with his left foot, and he kicked a ball with his right foot, which I've not seen any of our goalkeepers do for a long, long time. He might have had a bit of a rush of blood at one point, but he's only young. I thought Sesko scored again, which is great, and it's a goal poacher's goal, wasn't it? It weren't, you know, beating three, just tapping that, and I like that.
We've missed that.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's a goal poacher's goal, which is good. And I thought we looked coherent against a side who were above us in the league, although most teams are, and who I thought we're going to lose against. I honestly thought, and I thought the pressure would be on Amrin into the international break, but it's incredible. We're so fickle. After Brentford, he's got to go. Now, it's okay, after the international break, and this is my prediction. We've not won back-to-back Premiership League games under Amrin. Watch this space at Anfield. Watch this space.
And on that note, we're going to move Riaz's drink away from him. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Nick.
Did you enjoy today? Did anybody impress you? We've not really spoke about
today. My main takeaway from today, I'm very impressed with Amarin's decision to bring in the goalkeeper at this stage, because he could quite easily have shit out and said he's going to spend the season fucking sat on the bench and we're going to persevere with the other idiot, or the
does he have that time? He doesn't have that time though, does he? Really?
No, he doesn't have that time.
He's got
a gamble. But it was quite a bold move today, but I think that will pay dividends, providing he doesn't prove to be a clown who throws it in his own net, because the other one was fucking rubbish. We know Onana was rubbish. Bayern Dave was an even worse goalkeeper than Onana from my point, from my perspective.
Say something.
But I you didn't see the part of the podcast that we did earlier, but I called out Bayern Dave. I think he's an atrocious goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that he's been making saves that he makes them look like a camera save, where it's kind of like he's in the wrong position, and he shouldn't be making
a dramatic. About the game last
and that's what
he
does.
Was like, he's made some good saves, and he's like, no, he hasn't. You've been disappointed.
We had this debate, and you said the opposite.
Yeah. But no, I did. I said it in.
No, I did.
Stop. Hang on, these two are having a little spat. Stop it. I did say it in the mag last month that as soon as that goalkeeper is up to speed, he should be thrown in. And I'm really glad he's done that, because he couldn't afford to wait another 3 or 4 months before before blooding him. I'm glad he's done it now. Hopefully, he was pretty confident today. I thought there was one really good save, what I saw.
Two.
Right, well, obviously I wasn't there then.
Yeah, that was one.
But I'm not gonna start fucking getting giddy, because it's Sunderland at home. We should be doing this. This is the bare minimum. We should be beating Sunderland and coming back in here and just being like, yeah, Sunderland at home 2-0. That's fine. So let's move on. That's all I've got to say about the football. We achieved the bare minimum. That'll do.
Anybody impress you today?
No.
No, that's fair enough. No. I thought Mason Mount was good. I actually thought he was excellent, if I'm being honest. And the thing for me is that I've always wondered where Mason Mount fits into this team and this system. And I've called him out on this podcast. But to me, I know it's Sunderland, and you're right. But I actually thought he was very good today. I can see what he tries to do.
I wasn't watching closely enough, because I'm quite disengaged from it at the moment. I wasn't watching closely enough. It's Sunderland at home. I expect to go to the match, talk to my friends, get all the latest bullshit and news, and that game to just progress a few yards away from me and me not have to think about it.
The surprising thing about
today was like a refreshingly
easy.
Refreshingly, like, games like that should just happen like that.
But we were never under pressure. which surprised me.
Well, we were. It would have, well, but the thing is, if that penalty had been given at the end of the first half, it would have been.
But it wasn't, and we weren't under pressure. No, we were never under pressure.
And it should have been booked for diving. Hello, John, welcome. How was today? Did you enjoy today? Routine?
Love it all around us.
Love it. I love it.
There you go.
And the best thing about Amarin, maybe Amarin is a sweet little mystery.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I don't know. I was at a granddaughter's first birthday, so I wasn't even at the game.
Oh.
There you go.
And that was John. Well, I'll come to you for a different question.
But I'm a bit upset with United because they took £10 off me when they sold my ticket back.
Oh,
I didn't know about it, but I was still upset about it. I had no choice. I couldn't go. Granddaughter's first birthday, but I've seen the goals. I've read it all, and it looked like they played better, played different. Played a bit different, and if they're playing a bit different, you know, got to accept it.
I think some of them are a side, though, that are a bit cobbled together. They spent a lot of money in the summer. And they look like a bit disjointed today.
I'm really pleased for though is Sesko's got 2-2. One of you said it earlier. Because I was really upset. And I was blaming Amarin. And I'm quick to blame Amarin because I want him sacked after 5 games. But I was upset.
That long?
But you know, when he didn't play him for the first 2 or 3 games, he just builds the pressure up on the striker. And where it was Arsenal brought in that Joey, I can't pronounce him. That's him. And he scores straight away and it takes the pressure off. So hopefully he's took a bit of pressure off and he'll... I think he'll be a decent striker. Yeah.
He holds the ball up well. Yeah. He looks good, doesn't he? And the fact that he...
Could have been better today in terms of holding the ball. It could have been a slight... It could have been a little bit...
Well,
again, lost possession.
Well, the problem, what happened with Hoyland was they turned him.
Everyone could have been better.
Oh, no,
they turned
no
him
one is. No one is Pele. You know, everyone could
Pele.
Be.
Pele's the pinnacle that you go to, is it?
Yeah.
God. So Pele could hold up a ball now.
Come here, you two, stop bickering. Hoyland last year, they tried to turn him into the player to hold it up. You know, we went from a player who ran the channels, scored a few goals, and last year I felt sorry for him because they wanted him to hold the ball up, and that's just not his game. This lad looks like he can do it a bit, and he's got a few goals in him, so let's give him a chance. Love is all around us.
Oh, I love it, unbelievable.
Can we just go back to...
What's your favourite wet song?
I haven't got one.
There you go, right. Yeah,
can we just go back to before when you said that
you had a
very different
Is this from the City away game when you were defending it?
This is from last weekend.
I don't care about that. What about the City away game?
About
right,
last
right, we'll move on then, because that doesn't fit my agenda. John, what's your favourite, what's your go-to pre-match food?
Oh, pre-match food? I don't know, really. Pat Guinness?
Good answer. Favourite pre-match food?
I think it's very different for us because our pre-match is 4 hours before everyone else. So it doesn't really count, does it?
Yeah, I mean, my pre.
Good lord. Right, all right, Paul, come on. Pre-match food.
I would be very, very sceptical of anyone who's got an answer to this, because there shouldn't be any eating before football. It's completely anti the spirit of the game. It's like unsporting. Absolutely no
before
chance.
Football is woke.
It's not that it's woke. It's just that it's a completely ridiculous concept. People going, you've got like
a against Brighton. 5:30 kickoff.
I won't be eating. It's not a liquid tea.
You're turning into your dad.
No, but it's absolutely ridiculous. Brian. No, it isn't. Like what are you on like about? No, it's a ridiculous concept, because I can remember seeing comments from a foreign football club owner or something like that, and it's they wouldn't worry about that in England, because if the game means something to you, you sort of like it's a high stakes fixture, you tend to be nervous. You shouldn't be thinking about food if football means anything. I think just think it's completely against the spirit of football to be even contemplating fucking eating
cheese and pickle baguette.
So you like a double kebab then?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that you're right or wrong. Mine's cereal, because usually
cereal.
because as Nathan says, we're usually there about 97 hours before kickoff. But usually I've got to eat food in the morning, so I'll get up and have cereal in the morning and a coffee.
I just find the whole... I find the question offensive.
Yeah, well, there you go, Barney. You need to set better questions. And your next
cereal
question...
Cereal offender.
I do the granddad jokes.
Good Lord. So the next question is, favourite Man United player that you really, really like, that the general consensus didn't like? Paul, you were confident with an answer.
Yeah.
Can I go to Paul first?
100% Paul Ince. Paul Ince, a magnificent player for Manchester United.
He's a good footballer.
No, a tremendous footballer. Someone who came...
Where he went.
Just let me answer the question without you chiming in.
You get your turn.
Right?
Sure.
Lord.
Someone who came in, like people were unsure about, played at fullback in 1992. And then as that United team sort of blossomed throughout the 90s, he was absolutely integral to that. Like, key player throughout 1993, 1994, 1995. I was absolutely devastated when they came. He was my favourite player in that team, and that was a team including Cantona. He was, I thought for 3 or 4 years, he was magnificent for United. And I was genuinely gutted when we sold him. He sort of, his legacy was massively tarnished when he went to Liverpool, but he's like sort of paid for that in a way that Andy Cole got away with it going to City. Schmeichel always got stick because of the cartwheel, but Cole sort of, like, people respected the decision to do it, whereas Ince, like, never lived that down going to Liverpool. But for me, he's one of probably the top 10 players. You know, like, you sort of have an affection for players in 40 plus years of support. He's probably one of my top 5 or 10 favourite players who played for United, who I had like a genuine affection for at the time. I was fucking absolutely, he was fucking unbelievable for United, him alongside Keane, and I was gutted when he left.
So did you like him because he used to have his shirt off in the tunnel? Is that why you used
no,
to like him and then come out
with
his shirt on?
I know he did all that. I'm aware that was part, you know, that was his USP, whatever. But I didn't really care a jot for that. I just was watching him on the pitch. He was fucking brilliant for that for United. He was absolutely superb for United.
Well, does he fit in the question though? Because the question was
no,
Paul Ince was loved.
The question is that you love that nobody else does, and the thing is though that what
he's roundly no,
he's not
at,
now
at
because
the
of
time,
his legacy is tarnished because
no,
of where
wasn't
he
the
went.
Question.
That's why. So it's like Gabriel Heinz would fall into the same bracket as well.
Exactly.
He was a fabulous player, but you know, Heinz.
Fabulous player.
He was a great player. Heinz was great.
Fucking crap.
Who are we talking about?
Gabriel Heinz was pretty good.
Who?
Gabriel Heinze, I thought.
He was
Heinze was brilliant fullback.
I thought he was brilliant. But
brilliant fullback.
You're watching a different game.
Until he got injured, he was superb last fullback.
Absolutely watching a different game.
I
didn't
like him.
Never rated him.
Who's your player that you like that not many other people do?
Kagawaga. He's up there.
Yeah,
kick out.
Well, that's it. I wonder if it falls into that question. Because I think everyone liked him.
I don't think anybody doesn't like.
This is
a good question to have. If you don't like Shinji Kagawa, please make yourself known to the group, because you will be in the minority. I'm pretty sure.
I was the only player who liked Kagawa.
I really like him. I think you're. Yeah. That's not right.
Okay.
Think about a player. Everybody likes Shinji Kagawa,
you know,
like, surely.
You know football like me.
You know ball.
I really like Shinji.
So for me, it was at the time, everyone loved Brian Robson, quite rightly. However, his sidekick, Remy Moses, for me, was the ultimate.
No, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Because who doesn't like Remy Moses, for fuck's sake? Everyone fucking loved Remy Moses.
Everyone loves Ince.
No,
at the time,
Ince is reviled as a former United player.
Because he went to Liverpool. Yeah.
Which is what I'm trying to say.
Heinz has reviled because he said he wanted to go to Liverpool.
One at a time. Paul.
Don't interview old
people. What was the question originally?
Well, the question is, what is the player that you really like that everybody else doesn't like?
Yeah, which is fucking Paul Ince is the perfect answer.
And it's the perfect answer because I don't like Paul Ince.
Yeah, it's a perfect answer.
It's a perfect answer to the question. I can't comment because I never saw him kick a ball.
My previous response.
I really like Shinji Kagawa. I thought he was fantastic.
Who likes cheese and pickle baguette before a game?
Nobody. But that's that was the question. Nathan.
I know. Do you know?
Me and Nathan are going to say the same answer.
You know who I'm going to say.
Oh, I hope he's different now.
Should we say it on three?
No, because you're not going to say the same person.
No, we're not.
Because I know that you hate the person that I'm going to say.
Oh, no, but this is the moment me and Nathan fall out.
Who is it then?
Ander Herrera.
Ander Herrera.
What do you mean, no?
They don't.
And that is Nathan explicitly banned for the rest of the podcast for that absolute twat. No chance. Fucking can't stand Ander Herrera for a multitude of different reasons that will not be mentioned on this podcast. I'll tell people privately why I don't like him, but I absolutely cannot stand that man. He's in my top five most hated Man United players. You're banned from the podcast for mentioning his name. Top five most hated. My
who
player
yours, by the way?
Mine would be Darren Fletcher. Because
you,
I think
you didn't like Darren Fletcher.
There is a lot of people.
Bullshit.
No, you're banned from the podcast.
Bullshit.
Someone shut him up.
No.
Darren Fletcher, I think between 2007 and 2009 was one of the greatest centre midfielders in Europe. He was brilliant and he was perfect. You're banned from the podcast. The point is, though, I thought he was fantastic. However, there's the stigma of Fletcher that they have from 2003 to 2006, where they just have that in his head. He was Fergie's child, his godson, and it was all the rest of it. And I thought that he shouldn't be remembered. And he was poor when he broke into the side, but I swear by, he's one of my favourite players that's ever played for United. And I stand by and I will die on the hill. And I know millions of people will disagree with me, but we would have beaten Barcelona in Rome if he wasn't suspended. Come at me, prove me wrong. We would have won that game. He would have run that midfield.
I don't think he would have changed the game.
He would have changed the game. He was that good in that game. I got him printed on the back of a shirt I got bought, and I wore it every day. And it was the last Man United shirt I had in 2008. Fletcher 24 on the back. It was fantastic. But anyway, Nathan's banned from the Red Bees podcast forever.
I always had a meaning because most of them banned.
That's been great because that's been very divisive, and that's what we wanted. Also, final point is, you're banned for the podcast. You three can give me your hates of the week. Nathan, he's dead to me. What's your hate of the week?
So I hate this. I listened to the podcast, the last one, the one before. Everyone's going on about Chinese food. It's horrible. Stop talking about Chinese food. It's bad for you, and it's horrible. Have proper English curry, or don't bother.
Paul. Just ignore him, he's just weird. He doesn't like Chinese food, doesn't like fish.
Does he like fish?
Thinks everybody hates Remy Moses as well.
You know, Danny and Johnny don't like fish. Yeah, that annoys me, that. My hate of the week is the Pef.
You sure?
Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
They're just prone to doing this. A little handwritten note on the door. It's like completely sort of
a paper note in a monsoon, mate.
A paper note in a monsoon. It's not really like looking after your customers, is it? Like men's mental health and all that.
You know, put a notice out there weeks in advance and let us know it's going to be shit.
Like, why should
people make plans? The pet. Don't be so selfish.
People
John.
Forward to this.
Hate the week, John.
Family.
Wet.
Second bad coming.
And on that note, Sean's now banned from the podcast, and Nathan's also banned from the podcast as well. Kisses, thank you very much for joining us, and please
to
buy
the
maggot,
Brian. To the regiment.
He's banned. Nathan's banned.
Love
you. United 2, Sunderland 0 at full time. I tell you what a difference does it fucking make? Sorry, I've swore already. When you have a competent goalkeeper that knows what he's doing, that is confident.
That's Senny Lemons, Lemens, how you pronounce his name. Absolutely brilliant today. It's amazing how it settles a team when you have a decent goalkeeper that can catch a ball, that can claim a foot, can claim crosses, can claim higher balls. You know, that doesn't panic when the ball's at his feet. That varies up, doesn't always keep it short. It goes long into the big striker. You know, brilliant, I think, today. And I tell you who else impressed me today. I thought Yoro was quality again. De Ligt. He's been immense this season so far, De Ligt. Very, very, very impressed with him. Really good performance, really. I think overall, Sunderland offered very little. You know, I know they've had a good start to the season, Sunderland, but they've offered very little today. But it's good to see Mason Mount get on the score sheet and Benjamin Sesko, or Benjamin Sesko, you know, or Sesko, how you pronounce it, however you want to pronounce him. But yeah, I just thought he's been really, really good today. Thought we should have had a few more in the first half especially, but then we hit the woodwork and, you know, we had a couple of shots into the keeper, but, you know, really solid performance today, really professional performance. You sometimes think about where is that, where is that, you know, every week in, week out. But I thought Shaw was all right. You know, Delo had his moments. You know, I think for some reason I put him down as the assist for the Benjamin Sesko's goal with his long throw. But I thought thoroughly everyone played very well today. And Buemo is always a threat, you know, going forward. Zayden, what do you think of that?
Good.
Good. Who's your man of the match today? Who do you think? De Ligt?
Yeah.
De Ligt, yeah. So we were saying about De Ligt being very, very good. But I'm very impressed with the goalkeeper. I hope he continues with Senna Lamont, however you pronounce his name. I hope they keep with him, keep sticking by him. You know, Bayern Deering has had enough chances now. And, you know, I don't like to stick the boot in, but, you know, just stick with that Lamont, especially going to Anfield after international break. That's the biggest test, going to Anfield. That's your biggest test. That's the biggest worry. But we've got an international break coming up. Collecting three big points. That's the main thing. And, I'm just really impressed today for everyone. Thought Casemiro had all right. All right, Casemiro has picked up his typical Casemiro booking. But absolutely wiping a player out. What's the faff about sending the referee to the screen? VAR already knows that it's not a penalty. Why do you have to send the referee to the screen and waste even more time? And now the linesman gave that as a penalty. Don't have no clue. Soft as shit. Excuse the language again. But, you know, big 3 points, that. Big win. I'm impressed with the goalkeeper more than anything. De Ligt immense. Big Benjamin Sesko on the score sheet. I'm loving it. Mason Mount, brilliant again. Glory, Man United to the regiment. Zayden, say glory, glory, Man United.
Glory, glory, Man United.
Glory, glory, Man United. Up the Reds. Roll on Anfield.
Just a quick point in Piccadilly, because the trains are all screwed with Steve, who's not as pissed as he was last time. Can I just, the 20 minutes you heard before the game, I'm totally deleting that, and I'm going, Ruben Amorim. fucking hell. If that was a before and after, this might not be the same sort of before and after, but as I keep saying, I just want Man United to win games of football, whoever's in charge, and I still like him, and I saw semblances of things today. Yes, it was Sunderland, people were saying on the bus that they were shit, but I thought we did really well first half, and what I thought we were very sensible in the second half. We just made it a routine, our first routine win at home since fucking Everton a year ago or something.
Yeah, and John's just text saying we've won 3 home games.
On the trot?
I don't know if it's on the trot, I wouldn't get that kidding.
We are 8th in the table, we're 6 points off top.
But obviously, I've not heard what you were
before and after. Come, I am.
I've not heard what you said before the game. But
I was doomed.
I can probably have a guess. And the thing is with him, after Brentford last week, I said on the last pod that the jury's still out. Brentford away last week, I wanted him gone. Can't see this system working. And then he does a press conference yesterday and he sucks you back in. He's a very charismatic man, and I think we want him to do well, and we don't want to be chopping and changing managers all the time. But what is it, the 9 wins in 36 games?
We've got to see more. I'm sure Nick will say we've beaten another, you know, relegation fodder. Yeah. We were poor, but right, like I say, second half, I can see why we did what we did, because it was, let's not do anything stupid. I thought Mount had his best game in a United shirt for me today.
Yeah,
he was doing lovely little touches. I said, protect him. I thought Ahmad was really good. Bakoli caught the ball, kicked the ball.
He kicked the ball.
And made saves. That's a novel thing for us.
It was good. It was enjoyable. I'm not saying it's the best game in the world, but we got the job done. We looked in control. And
in the conditions, Steve, because can I mention the selling conditions? I'm wearing long johns in October and I'm shivering still. I wore my thermal thing. The conditions are shit.
I'm long retired. And the last Barnaby, two, I'm
well,
afraid.
You said, you bastard. You got out, didn't you? The last two games have been fucking horrific. So cheers, anyone who stopped, and if you haven't, come on. So it's always the way, isn't it? When we win and we're quite comfortable and that, you're like, should we talk shit?
And then
now, where are you with it? Like,
if you we're United. Yeah. I'm disappointed because obviously, start of every season, you've got big hopes. You spent £200 million or whatever it was in the summer.
Sesko looked alright today.
Yeah, he did.
Scoring.
He did. I think Mbeumo. He didn't look great today, but he's still a threat. He's there. I think I do think the system changed slightly today. I'll watch it back on MUTV. I won't watch it on MUTV because I've not got it. I'll watch it on Match of the Day for the first time in about a year. but we didn't look like a rigid 5-3-1, whatever the fucking thing is.
VAR was shit again, but at least it worked in our favour. Just put
that nonsense. I went down early for a drink, and I don't think you've seen this yet. The penalty shout for Sunderland. Sesko puts his foot up. It's a high ball, but he must be a yard away from this lad. The lad grabs his face, chucks himself in the floor. 4 minutes later, they work out that Sesko's gone nowhere near him, and we get on with the game. If that's the case, why aren't they booked him? The thing is with it, it's just so inconsistent. We've seen like Newcastle, Arsenal last week, lad's gone flying in with his hand and that's not a penalty. Us against Brentford, last man gets clean out, that's just a yellow card, despite Mike Dean in the studio saying that that's a definitely red card, and it took him 20 minutes to work that out.
Utter bollocks,
it's fucking nonsense.
That Celtic won the joke one. Were we better today without Ugarte? You know, like,
I thought we were better today. I don't know whether or not that's got anything to do with Ugarte. I think the problem is at the moment, we were saying this before the game, it's the system would work if we had two world class left wing backs. We haven't got any. I think the system would work if the three centre halves were quicker. They're not. They are what they are. The system would work if we had a central midfielder that was specific for that purpose. We haven't got that. I just think if I know that and I believe that what I'm saying to be right, why doesn't he know that? That's the biggest thing with the system. It's not a dig at the system. It's just that we haven't got the personnel to do that system. Bruno's not a midfielder.
It is a very un-Man United system, but whether that goes back to what is our DNA and Nathan's argument, two good managers, you know.
I've said
like
it a million times before. Football isn't that. It's not that fucking hard. And the systems, and I don't know if it's Pep Guardiola, it's definitely his fault. Overcomplicating football and playing with false nines and all the other acronyms that I don't understand. It is just football. And if my 11 are better than your 11, then we'll win.
Then going back to that, it's just people like today, and there was a dad and lad who are really, you know, came up and they said they're always optimistic, because his point was Doncaster fans would give their right foot to do what we do, and they say they spend the week you're not going to spend the week before Sunderland at home not looking forward to the day out with your mates and seeing it all. So I think sometimes we go, we are, even like I say, I hate the reactionary, I've been reactionary, but I've put so much invested, you're the one, Ruben, to feel like, and I still think he will be gone down the line this season. I still think, but let's see.
We were saying before, let's say he strings a few wins together and it gets to January and we need a midfielder. Are you going to give him £100 million? If the answer is yes, then we're going to stick with him. If the answer is no, then get rid of him now.
Choosing the player, well scouted, properly, you know, like this player not only fits in your system, but he fits in the next manager if we need to go there. Right. Yeah. Any other comments about the game, Steve?
Not about the game.
Right. As I say, I'm watching Hill Street Blues, one of the best TV theme tunes. What's your best TV theme tune of all time?
Your letters were only the start of it. They're getting better, and now we're a part of it. Jim will fix it.
Fuck's sake, I wondered where you were going with that, you utter fucking twat. I'm not even editing that one. If you could...
Knight Rider was good.
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember Knight Rider?
No, not the theme tune.
Saturday night, I used to get back from my granddad's in Clayton. We used to get the bus back. You used to get home for Knight Rider and then Baywatch.
Bastard. If an earthquake hits, what one thing are you saving? Not a person.
Go on, tell me that again.
An earthquake hits your house.
Yeah.
But everyone's saved, but you have to. It's a possession. What are you saving?
Well, I know what it's not.
What is it?
That fucking stupid cat that I've got.
It's a living thing, so they're safe.
Right, okay. Photographs and stuff like that, phones and stuff are safe.
Give us one thing. No, they're not safe. That's not a living thing.
Right.
Come on, you're on a timer. Instead.
Right, I've got a key ring that my granddad gave me.
That's lovely.
Like that. You've seen it, haven't you? He's proper beat up.
Was
I reckon 60s, 70s, yeah. Red Devil's key ring, that one.
If you could choose a darts name, what would your darts name be?
Oh, something really offensive.
No edits.
Stee the Shitter.
What would your
walk-on
music be?
Ooh. I don't know, but I've got a mate called Andrew Law, and I asked him this about boxing. If you're a boxer, what song would you come on to sing? And he went, easy. I fought the Law and the Law won. I thought that would good.
Yeah, but your name's not Law.
No, it isn't. You're right.
Cliff? What's it? Many cliffs to cross?
I don't know, Smet Loudon.
You got a hate of the week. People on your train.
Yeah, so today, am I allowed to say a jib the train? So I think the trains in this country are absolute shit.
If any Hectors are listening, this is purely hypothetical.
I try not to pay where I can. I live in Sheffield now, so I got on a quick train from Sheffield. I think it's Cleethorpes to Liverpool. Knew it would be a bit busy, so I'm not paying to stand up, so I got on the train. There's a bloke sat in front of me, 50, 60 year old, full kit, on his phone that opened into two halves, so he's basically got a little computer. I find it weird that a 50 odd year old man is looking at Facebook in the first place, but that's my first hate of the week. And then he's just like basically showing off how his company, and he said the words, if you want a good holiday, mate, go to watch the Formula One in Dubai. I couldn't think of anything fucking worse. I'm happy with 3 days. Three days in Benidorm. That'd do me. I just thought, what a fucking bell end you are. My other hate of the week, so the train went into, I think it was platform 13, 14 at Piccadilly. Fucking people who can't integrate into society. This is people who can't get off a train, follow signs to the exit. There was four women stood there saying, oh, we're lost kids. They're about 30 odd year old. They obviously thought it was funny. I got back on the train and went to Oxford Road. I thought, I'm going to have to do this again. I can't fucking comprehend this.
The mirage of LinkedIn and all that, you know, CEO podcasts and all that shit. I always remember being on a train. I've never said this on the pod. I've told you this before, though, but how you can have a front is there was a bloke in a like business thing years back. I'm talking, it's probably 20 years back. And he was reading a book, you know, like to the table. He was, you know, like a big book.
Oh,
he was
with
reading.
Paper?
Not a like, maybe, I don't know.
We know what books are.
So I was sitting behind him, and it was one of those days where you get the big reflection. But in the book, he had an S&M magazine that he was reading, pretending to read the book. And I thought, you dirty, dirty old man. He's like, and I went to the toilet, and I looked at him, and I thought, I know your secret, mate. But it all made me think, to the rest of that, you know, he was reading the sophisticated, and the dirty old bastard was getting off on an S&M magazine. And I think it was Virgin Trains, and I always thought, beware.
Well, another thing, so
scratch that veneer.
Next to the 56-year-old guy, there's his friend, which wasn't his son, and he was like, this guy was trying to show off to the younger guy by saying how much money he had. The younger guy, who was about 35, was on Snapchat, and he was like messaging a girl, something like Baby Cakes, I think she was called, Baby Cakes Jude. And I don't fucking know what she was called.
If
and he was like,
can't
wait to see you soon. Like, you're 30 odd year old. Just fucking go to the pub. Get a Greggs before the game. Sit down.
Stare
at whatever's
on
the telly.
What's your favourite pre-match? You haven't listened to last week's pod. What's your favourite pre-match meal?
Pre-match meal?
Yeah.
Guinness.
Well, yeah, but like chips, fried up.
I don't think I've ever had.
Kebab, Chinese?
No, I don't think I've ever had a pre-match meal. Ever.
Okay, and who's your dirty Man United secret? Like, a player that you liked that other people
none.
<didn't.
laughs>
No, there must be one that you thought I liked.
Jesper Olsen, I liked
him. Yeah, but well, that's like cheesy.
Strachan, I liked.
Yeah, but you're just choosing people that people like.
I'm just trying to think. I've never really thought
you know,
about things.
Someone's
I don't jump in. Like, I know Nick and Nathan absolutely love like Darren Fletcher.
Well, that's what. Yeah, but people liked him.
And
so
I liked
you'd have to be.
He's all right. He wasn't good enough. In my
he'd
opinion.
Fucking walk in this
oh,
side.
He could. Dead right, he would.
He's got
dead
right, he would. You know, fuck me.
Who did I like? No, no one really. I have like players that I wish would sign.
You're going to take charge of this for Forrest.
Is that because you're going to get
no,
so
I'm gonna
drunk?
Be, you... I'm going to be with you. Right.
Is that our next?
What do you miss about selling anything?
To be fair, when it back in 20 odd years ago.
I thought you were going to say back in the day then.
Yeah, back in the day. 20 odd years ago when we did it, we used to start selling from 12:30 for a 3 o'clock kickoff.
We still do, Steve.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, we're at 12:15 today. It
was good. It was, we were young, we had energy. Well, sorry, I was young, I had energy. I used to do the pubs as well, enjoyed that. We used to sell a lot more than we do now.
We don't even do the pubs because everyone sometimes looks at you like you're holding an ebonic plague toxin.
I liked it because I was young and look, I got to meet a lot of lads. I used to go away with a lot of lads from Wivenshaw. I bumped into Sausage and Tommy before.
Chelsea are winning titles on.
Yep. So it was got a met some like all lads from Red Issue. Paddy, so Red Issue, still really good mates with him. I like speak to him every other day. So the people I met, absolutely amazing.
You don't speak to me every day.
Barney, I speak to you every day. We're in about four group chats together. Yeah.
You're all answer the phone anyway.
No, I don't. We don't answer the phone. I'm in bed for seven. And then as I got older, used to do like an hour before kickoff again. That was good for like seeing people. And I still love you, but I think I love
Henry VIII
the pub.
Would have chopped your head off for like leaving. He would have just like.
Well, Henry VIII would have chopped my head off anyway because I'm a Catholic.
Like that sort of editorial role, jurisdiction would be quite fun. Like, take me back the other day, what? Where would you go back to? Anyway, talking bollocks, we won. Get in. Glory, glory, Man United. Wouldn't it be nice to get a fucking win? Not even just a scabby win at Anfield. Are we going to win at Anfield, Steve? No, we're not going to win.
Yeah, we are, because that man does this to us. We're very up and down.
Are we fickle, or is he rhetorical?
I don't know anymore if we're fickle. I looked at Twitter today. Someone said this is our 11th or 12th manager since Sir Alex retired. I'd like to think we're not fickle, but football's completely changed, hasn't it? Now
it's
not the same. If it were me, I'd go to Anfield, stink the fucking place out, try and nick one in the last 10 minutes.
What was your
them winners are better than
favourite
any.
Rooney goal?
The Newcastle one where he's arguing with the referee. His debut. I remember being in the pub after.
That was great.
I sat near my dad for that, and everyone was saying he'd come out. I remember he ripped his shirt. We went for a drink after, and I remember you saying that was a superb debut. His second game, he's going to be shit, and he was. I can't remember who it was, but he was fucking awful. As a 16-year-old,
fucking love Rooney. I really do. I don't think he he gets credit, but he should be getting fucking. Anyway, take care of yourselves, people.
God bless.